Joining us now, we have Symetra Tour player and conditional status on the LPGA Tour for 2017, Madeline Shields joins us. Madeline, welcome into the golf shop.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so I'm going to ask you right out of the gate for 2017, what's going to be different about your game that's going to get you more status on the LPGA Tour? What are you going to do better?
The things that I started to do better at the end of the year, which was I pretty much elevated every part of my game. I'm not a long hitter, so I need to be incredibly straight off the tee and have a very solid long iron game, which I happen to have right now. And then I have got to get up and down more often. That was my main Achilles heel this past year, and it got a lot better within the last 6 weeks, but it's got to get even better still in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, 2016 wasn't very good, and I'm sure by your standards, not even close to being good. And was that more of a, you know, things didn't start out all that great, and then you get into a mindset where you're just, it's not happening, and we all know how confidence plays a lot in the game of golf.
I think it was honestly a lot mechanical. I switched coaches, or one coach that I had been working with dropped out of the picture, and I stuck with a different one, and I just wasn't getting the answers that I needed when my game went south, and then I started working on all the wrong things, and then it's a vicious cycle of then I lose confidence, and then it's even harder to get better mechanically. So I finally switched coaches in September, started getting just better information, better help, and after put in a lot of hard work and turned things around when I needed to at the end of the year.
So was the confidence you gained there in those last six tournaments, let's say, as you were improving, did that confidence carry over to when you had to show up for stage two of Q School? Because a lot of our listeners may not even know what a grind Q School is to get through, one stage, let alone two, and some people have to get through three. Did that confidence help you prepare for that? Were you ready as you could have been?
Well, unfortunately, the changes didn't start showing up until really the last two tournaments of the year. Just the last tournament. I switched coaches when there were two events left on the Symetra Tour and then Q School, stage two of Q School. And the first tournament was canceled because of Hurricane Matthew, so I didn't get any prep there. And then I went to the Tour Championship and missed another cut. So, it was a grind all the way through. It was because I had just made the change in September. So then at stage two, though, I played well. I was pretty much inside the top 20 most of the week and had a bad last hole, but I was still like seven shots within the qualifying number of the top 80 that went on to stage three out of 250 some women. So that's kind of where I really picked up the confidence, was just that week. And then as I came back to Phoenix to practice and get ready, I played a couple mini tour events in between then and final stage, and I picked up even more confidence then just in practice and in those small events. So that's what got me ready.
And then when you show up for stage three, what's the mindset? Is it do or die? I mean, at some point, you get out of the University of Nebraska, you have a plan to become a professional golfer, make this your career. What was the mindset going to stage three as it relates to your overall golf, plan?
You hit it on the head. For me this year, it was do or die, because when I came out of college, I set up a 4-year plan with a group of investors, and they were going to back me for 4 years because that's how long I figured it would take for me to develop as a player to where I could support myself. And I ended up, I made it with seconds remaining, it feels like, in the very last month of that deal, because it ends January 1st. So I knew that if I didn't make it through this year, even though deep down I knew that I wasn't ready to give it up, it would have been pretty devastating to not have any opportunity on the LPGA Tour for yet another year and find some way to fundraise to play on Symetra again. So I felt like I went into this week with my back against the wall, and pretty much nothing was going to stop me from walking away with something.
You know, we hear all the time about guys on the web.com tour that get the, that are in the 50 that get status on the PGA Tour having a tough time getting into tournaments. With conditional status on the LPGA Tour, realistically, what's your expectation for a number of events that you think you can get in?
Well, I am the very first of all of everybody with conditional status. So I have a very good number, as they call it. I'm number 156. And if you think that most full-field events have 144 players, I'm really not far out at all. So I like my chances of playing in 8 or more events, maybe up to 12. And if I play well in just one or two of those early, I can reshuffle and then improve my number even more and be good for the rest of the year. You know, I have friends in this position the last couple of years who had the same thing. They got in either in Hawaii or Dallas, played well, made a cut, and then they were set. So even though it's, you know, it's tough to bounce in between the tours, not really know, get in last minute, you know, I don't care. I have an incredible opportunity ahead of me, and I'm just going to focus on playing well when I do get into those events and put all my energy into, you know, playing well on the LPGA versus trying to make something happen on Symetra in the meantime.
All right, well, we're talking to Madeline Shields, who just got conditional status through Q School. She made it through stage 3 and is sitting in a pretty good position to get into some tournaments this year on the big tour. And I'm curious, you know, you go from being a high school junior player in Idaho, and you end up at the University of Nebraska, and then you make it out onto the Symetra Tour, and now you're going to get out on the big tour. For those of our listeners who are parents or even junior golfers, just take us briefly through what you learned sort of at each stage. What differentiates the junior golf from college golf, from Symetra golf, to now you're going to be out on the LPGA Tour?
I think junior golf was first and foremost love of the game. And just, you know, you have to enjoy it out there. And I loved playing with the other girls in the junior programs in Idaho and being on my high school team and playing with my parents. And I certainly worked hard. I knew that I wanted a college scholarship. So, but what got me started was just pure love of the game. And then once I got to the University of Nebraska, you learn a lot about time management. And it's just, it's quite the balance between school and a very much full-time golf schedule. But college is an incredible opportunity to develop pretty much every part of you as a person and a player, because you have free access to swing coaches, nutritionists, strength trainers, and then, of course, you're getting an education and learning to live, you know, partly on your own at least. So, you know, that's an incredible experience. And then once you get out on tour, it feels like everything changes. I still certainly have the love of the game, but it's different when you're playing for a check, you know, and every shot counts. So there's it's learning to deal with that pressure and learning how to still have a life outside of the golf course, but also find a way to work harder than anybody else.
Yeah, I mean,
manage to life on the road.
Yeah, like you're saying, you go from having, you know, in high school to have, you know, you don't have access to all these things. Then in college, you have access to all of those things, and then they're all taken away from you again when you get on the Symetra Tour and you're totally on your own. Not everybody can afford to tune up with a coach. Not everybody can afford the kind of nutrition that was just open to you at a place like Nebraska and all those things. And I'm sure the first few weeks out there, there were a few, you know, you had a table for one and had to kind of work. Had to kind of work through that. But what we have found here in Charlotte is that the players are largely very supportive of each other. There's almost like a common misery loves company in some ways. And being out there, everybody appreciates that you're all in this the same grind. You're trying to beat each other on the course, but that you're all in this together. Is that something you think you might see at the next level, or are you going to be back to every man for himself?
You know, I don't think so. I had a great time on the Symetra Tour for 4 years, and I got to know a lot of people that way. I feel like I've been out there a long time. So I now know a lot of people on the LPGA Tour as well. And having friends and, you know, hanging out and doing things as we're traveling along as gypsies together, you know, made it all – that's what I enjoyed about it. That's part of the ride for me. So if I were to lose that when I go to the LPGA Tour – I think I'd be pretty unhappy. So I'll make a commitment to making sure I go out to dinner with people and ask them vets for travel advice so that hopefully I can, you know, be at least on the same plane rides and, just find somebody to show me the ropes, stay with host family still. You can do that on the LPGA Tour, and that was another thing that I loved and kind of kept me sane and made it personal along the way. So I certainly hope to have friends.
Well, I'm going to let Mark ask the next question, but he doesn't have any friends.
I don't. I have one. So, again, we're talking with Madeline Shields, conditional status on the LPGA Tour for 2017. So when you start looking at events, I mean, obviously you want to not – have to spend as much money as possible. I mean, I know the LPGA kind of goes here, there, and everywhere, but you look at the season starts in the Bahamas, and then it comes back after a kind of a offshore swing, we'll call that, to Phoenix, to the Phoenix, Arizona area in March. So if you're kind of looking at that tournament maybe as a possibility, and you don't get into a tournament until March, here we are in December. What do you do between now and then to keep yourself sharp? I mean, are there things that you can go do and things that you can play in?
Yeah, you know, the Symetra season, the schedule isn't out yet for 2017, but their tournaments should start mid to late February and into March, and I will still be a member of that tour. So I will play their events to start out the year and, you know, get ready for sure. And then there's, yeah, so that's pretty much the plan.
Well, and as it relates to your overall plan, when you're starting to look at this season and, you know, you get out on the big tour, you got to hire a caddy and you got to do all these things. And so when you go out to those tournaments, you know, are you going to be interested in hiring a local caddy? Are you going to bring your coach? Are you going to bring a family member? How do you handle that?
I have had a caddy on the Symetra Tour pretty steadily for the last 3 years. And I worked with somebody for the second half of this year and through Q School that I'm trying to get to come out again with me for next year. So I would really appreciate the familiarity of, you know, Larry Smitch, who I've been working with. But if that doesn't work out, I will try to find a new regular caddy. That's something that's important to me.
Okay, well, Madeline, I'm certainly available. I don't know a lot about golf, but I think we would have a good time. So,
there's the one friend that I need.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about the challenge of finding a caddy and what you would look for in a caddy. I mean, if you're out there auditioning people, do you want keep up and shut up? Do you want distraction? Do you want to talk about music and movies, or do you want all those numbers? What is it that you're looking for?
Is your caddy giving you all the yardage, cover yardage, hazard yardage, bunker cover, you know, all that stuff, or are you doing that yourself?
Yeah, what a player wants in their caddy is just totally different from person to person. I happen to like somebody who they will walk the course for me before I get there and double-check all the numbers in the book so that we don't waste a second in the practice round guessing about things. And then during the actual round, we both get the numbers, you know, all the yardage and whatnot, but I like to have somebody who can do it as well and then talk through the shot with me and decide how far it's going to actually play. Having that somebody who's very capable golf-wise is important. And then I just like somebody who is really laid back and doesn't ride the highs and lows like along with me, because that is just way too much. You know, I don't need my caddy like fist pumping or going ooh when you miss a putt. Or I need somebody.
Somebody steady.
which happens way more often than it should out there. It seems. Yeah, I need somebody just steady Eddie who can kind of chat with me about whatever that day and keep me in the moment.
Well, Madeline, we appreciate you coming on with us. Good luck to you in 2017, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again after you've started to have some success and things start rolling for you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.